from being an innovative pioneer in the music industry, sharing the stage with Elvis, and having a generous heart. Friends, remember J.D. Sumner.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
J.D. Sumner in the Guinness Book of World Records, but more than that, more than a great bass singer, and he was that, and he was legendary for that. You had a lot of things to J.D.'s credit. You had, I think, inventing the tour bus, inventing, you know, everybody having their own microphone. Pretty prolific songwriter when you look at how many songs he'd written, and most people saw him as one way, a deep singer, this kind of crusty personality, quick one-liners that he'd throw back at you, but there was a heart behind J.D., and we've got some friends together on this show today, including Michael Sykes, George Hare, Gene McDonald, and Mark Lowry. And I'll just start it off by saying I only met J.D. once. He was on a program with Jerry Clower. 2 months later, they both passed away. I was very green in radio. I did not even know how to interview Mark. I didn't know what to do. So all I was going to do was go get what they call liners, just get him to say, hey, you're listening to the station. Rick Strickland, the tenor singer, said, come out to the bus because J.D.'s got a broke toe. And J.D. broke his toe because he was sitting with his leg crossed one night on stage and his foot went to sleep. So the tingling of the foot kicked in and he tried to wake it up. And so he uncrossed his legs and he stomped his asleep foot on the ground. And he didn't know his own strength, I guess. He broke his toe, but he wouldn't go to the doctor for it. So he was suffering. And that's why he went out to the bus. I met him out on the bus, sat there on the bus with him. And we talked for a little while. And he was a very kind man. But he could be a little bit intimidating, especially to a young green guy like me. So, Mark, you want to start it off? When did you meet J.D. and what kind of drew him into you to figure him out?
Well, early on in the Gaither tapings, those Gaither videos, one of the first ones when we were all in the Studio A up in Gaither's studios, I saw J.D. lean over and whisper something in George Yance's ear, and then they both died laughing. And I said, okay, I want to know them. And I, you know, George was married, and J.D. was married too, but his wife had already died. I never knew her, Mary. But I lived in the same town as J.D., so I called him up. I think that's how it happened. I called him up and said, you want to go eat? And then just after a while, we just started hanging out. And I heard all the Elvis stories. I heard a lot of early quartet stories. And I remember we were talking about the Lord one day, and he said, well, if I make it to heaven, it'll be by the skin of my teeth. I'll never forget him saying that. And I said, ain't nobody going by the skin of your teeth. And I was reading a book called The Grace Awakening, and so I'd read that, and we would go and discuss it.
Charles Swindoll's
book, yeah, The Grace Awakening. I saw grace dawn on him, and it was really interesting to see J.D. take these profound thoughts of Chuck Swindoll and mull them over in his head and then spit them out in an eighth grade vocabulary that was more brilliant than Chuck Swindoll could have ever thought of.
Mark Lowry and Gene McDonald, plus George Hare and Michael Sykes, friends of J.D. Sumner.
Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation so,
oh, won't you tell me,
where could I go but to the Lord? Where could
that I love so near and comfort, oh, I get from God's own word.
Remembering the late J.D. Sumner, low-down voice, I'm telling you, world record holder for his bass singing, plus innovator, pioneer in gospel music. And we're talking today with Mark Lowry, Michael Sykes, George Hare, and Gene McDonald about J.D. Sumner and his time with the Stamps Quartet, plus other groups, and Elvis, today on Daniel Britt and Friends. J.D. Sumner is our featured artist today on Daniel Britt and Friends, as we're talking to his friends, George Hare and Michael Sykes, both producer minds, and they're on the phone, but sitting at lunch with Mark Lowry and Gene McDonald. There was a change with JD, I think, that people started understanding. He was more than this personality he had on stage. He had a depth to him, and especially in his later years. I remember he talking about Gloria and some of the changes of opinions he had about her. What do you think, was it kind of this whole discussion on grace and understanding grace that kind of opened his eyes, you think?
And probably getting to know her, you know, he would go up and visit. And because she can come off, you know, if you don't know her, the way she talks on the videos can come off real intellectual and super spiritual. But I think that once you get to know her, she's as common as the rest of us. You know, she really is. She's got grandkids. She's raised kids. She's so into her family. But he didn't know her. It's easy to hate it when it doesn't have a face, you know. It's easy to hate people when you don't really know them. It's a lot easier to not like them. But once you get to know them and see their hearts, then if you got any heart of your own, you've got to learn to like them. But yeah, I don't know what he was like in his early days, so I have nothing to compare it to. He was great the last 5 years of his life that I knew him.
Well, and Gene is, I think you're a young guy, so I mean, how far back do you go either studying JD or going to concerts, or when did you meet him?
My dad always told me that JD was my godfather. So from 19, I can remember him walking Elvis around at Ellis Auditorium in 1969 or 70.
In Memphis.
And JD telling everybody, don't get him to talk, because if he talks one time, it's going to cost me $25,000 if he says one word. And that was... You know, it was 69 or 70. And so I was a tenor singer, but from my experience, bass singers were 100 times more accepting of children, of kids. And so, I mean, tenor singers were just the snobs. They still are.
But basses are nice.
But you know, I mean, like Herman Harper and Rex and Brock and all them old boogers, London Paris, they were all just good kid people.
Yeah.
And so I'd walk up and he'd say, "Come here, kid," you know, and so it was just always a wonderful time. And I can remember just being in awe of the persona, you know, not knowing the person, just the image of who they were was just mind-blowing to me. And then as I got older, my voice changed when I was 17. And I never thought I'd be low enough to be a bass singer. But I wanted to sing bass so bad. If I couldn't sing tenor, I wanted to sing bass. And I can remember he's done Masters 5. He's doing Masters 5. And so they're at the Fish Hook there in Kennett, Missouri. My dad's brought them in, and they're singing. My dad told him that I wanted to sing. And so he brought me up, and I'm singing with them. And he was just very congenial. Come up here and sing, you know, that kind of stuff. JD, in his later life, I saw both sides of the coin. I saw pre-Mary's death and post-Mary's death. And I really believe that it hurt him to the core that Mary passed away. But I also think that it opened up the humbleness of himself to show feelings.
What did Mary die of?
Of cancer. Yeah, brain tumor. And I mean, it was, she was a beautiful lady. She was 5'6". Got a good story on that. But you know, she was 100 pounds. You know, and that was his pride and joy. And when she died, I mean, he was distraught. He never went back to the house. You know, he bought that condo, and he never went back to the house, sold the house, never went back to the trailer behind the studio, you know. And, I mean, he was just anywhere that she had been, he didn't go.
You know, painful.
It was very painful.
That's Gene McDonald, fellow bass singer, talking about his friend J.D. Sumner. Also here, Mark Lowry, Michael Sykes, and George Hare on Daniel Britt and Friends. Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with J.D. Sumner as our featured artist, as we're hearing stories of J.D. from friends Mark Lowry, Michael Sykes, George Hare, and Gene McDonald.
I'm gonna walk in those steps, 'cause I know my Jesus answers all of my prayers. Well, I know when he calls me to my home on high, gonna walk in golden steps when I die, when I die.
When Jesus says to me, welcome, and all my cares are laid by, I'll lay down my sword, my battles are won.
I'm gonna walk in golden steps when I die, when I die, when in golden steps, 'cause I know my Jesus answers all of my prayer. Well, I know when he calls me to my home on high, gonna walk in golden steps when I die, when I
this lonesome weary road.
Sometimes I can't help but cry.
I'll
never regret a step that I take. I'm gonna
walk them golden steps when I die. When I die, well, I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna walk them golden steps. Cause I know my Jesus, well, the answer's all of my prayers. I know when he calls me to my home on high. I'm gonna walk them golden steps. Yes, I'm walking golden steps. I'm gonna walk them golden steps when I die. When I die.
I walk them golden steps. I walk them golden steps. Gonna walk, gonna walk, gonna walk, gonna walk, gonna walk. I walk in golden steps. I walk in golden steps. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk in golden steps.
Walk in golden steps when I die.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends as we hear stories and music from J.D. Sumner. And we're talking to his friends, Gene McDonald and Mark Lowry, but also producer friends in the studio and on the phone with us right now, Michael Sykes and George Hare. In fact, had a hand in producing that particular song, Walk the Golden Stairs, in that particular project. So with Mark Lowry and Gene McDonald maybe coming from an artist point of view primarily, let's go to kind of a behind-the-scenes point of view with J.D. Sumner. And as we talk to Michael Sykes, who I know at least one album in particular that I listened to and wore out, one of the last Stamps albums that Michael had a hand in producing. I think Michael English was involved with that album too, or at least made an appearance on there. And then George Hare. And that is a name, George, I met you not long ago, but after I met you, I still was trying to figure you out. And I was talking to some of the artists. I said, now get my head around who George is. And as they started telling me, it's like a light bulb went off. I have read your name in more places than I can remember. And it's like with Michael Sykes, too. I mean, you guys are everywhere in gospel music. So from that point of view, George and Michael, you had a good relationship with J.D., right?
Yeah, let me say, nobody really gets to know George. George holds his cards, but he's one funny individual. We grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina together. And we were born about 2 years apart, but, man, we lived a block from each other. We've been having a good time now going on we're each about 25 now, right, George? You're 23, I'm 25, right?
Yeah, that's right, man.
as far as J.D. goes, Norman Holland, who's at Daywind now, back in the day, he worked at Benson, the Benson Company. I know you remember that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He called me one time about working on a J.D. Sumner project. Well, I went in there and talked to him, but I was nervous about working with J.D. because, man, I had heard all these stories about, yeah, he's funny and he's all this stuff, but, man, he's really hard to please. He's, you know, in the studio. I mean, you're going to have to dance to J.D. I mean, he's... You're going to have to work around him and all that. Man, I met J.D., and we started sitting around the piano working stuff. And man, he was one of the most fun projects I ever did. And in fact, I did several projects with him, but he was one of us, man. And
cool.
George, you know, when we were around, it's just like, man, he was always witty. He's always coming up with something funny to say. It was a party. We laughed all the time, didn't we, George?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, J.D., I remember recording J.D. for the first time. He was the first artist that ever demanded a lounge chair so that he could sit down while he sung. In a studio like we had, finding a lounge chair was, you know, it had its ups and downs, too. Yeah, there's so many stories we've got about everything I know about J.D. is, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. The role that I play as far as engineering, most of the time when the artist goes on stage to do his stuff, I consider him going to work. So, you know, I stay out of his hair, you know. But J.D., man, what a daddy he was to me for so many years. We had a standing invitation every Sunday afternoon, most time around 6 or 7. He would call me, tell me the same thing. After a year of playing chess with him every Sunday afternoon, he would call me always and tell me the same things. Little buddy, on your way over here, stop at Taco Bell and pick me up about 6 tacos and about 2 of those pinto and cheese. You know, and, you know, after a year, you think he would know that I would remember that, you know. But anyway, he felt a need to tell me every single time. He was just so great.
That's George Hare, an engineer in the studio, along with Michael Sykes, who co-produced this J.D. Sumner and the Stamps project.
Every time I do a deed I should not do. Every time I say a word I should not say. Let me tell you what I do, and it brings a blessing too. I just steal away somewhere and pray.
The Savior always here, and the answer's prayer. And He gives me many blessings day by day, by day, by day. So when I have tried my best and have failed, that's when I steal away somewhere and I pray.
I just steal away and pray.
Steal away.
I just steal away and pray.
Steal away.
And I ask my blessed Lord to lead the way. Just
steal away
and pray.
Steal away.
I just
steal away
and pray. I just
steal away
somewhere,
somewhere.
I just
steal away
somewhere,
somewhere. I just
steal away somewhere.
Like the Daniel Britt and Friends page on Facebook, tweet at Britt and Friends on Twitter, or simply visit the full site at danielbritt.com.
Peace forevermore on my heart.
Sumner on Daniel Britt and Friends with Gene McDonald, Mark Lowry, George Hare, and Michael Sykes. And one personality style and sense of humor he had maybe came across one way, but he was quite a gentle and generous guy. Here's Mark Lowry.
I remember one time we were at a restaurant, and we always carried a big wad of cash in his pocket from the product table. He'd sell CDs or 8-tracks or whatever they were back then. And he'd always have a wad of cash. And he was reaching for the check at a restaurant. And we had befriended the waitress, and she'd come to tell us about she was just working as long as she could. She had cancer, and she had to take care of her grandkids. And when she said cancer, he was reaching for the check when she said cancer, and he dropped that whole wad of cash on her platter that she was holding. He gave it all to her because he heard that she was, you know, and he was grateful. He was grateful that he didn't have to work like that. You know, he was grateful that he had his health, and he was a good guy, and he was funny. But he wouldn't take any. He had a great detector. But he, you know, these super pious spiritual gas bag people, he could really spot them and didn't take much off of them. Yeah, he'd call them out. But I loved him, and I miss him.
God sent this world a baby boy who was born in poverty. And as a boy, he wondered what would be his destiny. His life was to be busy, and things would happen that even he couldn't believe. He had so much to give, yet very little to receive. He started with a song and a wiggle, and some people couldn't understand. But you and I now know that it was all in God's plan. No sooner had he started than he was to lose his most precious prize. Tragedy struck this young man's life. His mother died. By this time, he had the colonel who was to guide his every step. And things began to happen that neither one could seem to help. He came home from the army, and we saw him on TV. And because of that wiggle, they wouldn't even show his knees. His career grew, and he started making movies. And this took him from us for a while. Even though he didn't like it, he still gave the world a smile. Then he came back to us in person, because to sing for his fans was what he really enjoyed. And when he felt that he didn't please us, with himself, he was annoyed. We demanded, not understanding, that he give to us his all. He tried to do what we wanted for the big and the small. The demand for his records, or to have a glimpse or touch his hand, bit by bit, this took its toll, for even he was just a man. Oh, yeah, he was very happy living, and he wasn't afraid to die. Even now, though our hearts are broken, he wouldn't want us to cry. God, in all of his wisdom, even though we loved him so, he knew what was best. We don't understand it, but it was time for him to go. Let you and I, in our memory, never lose what he gave. Because while he was living, for God and country, you and I, he was a slave. yes, heaven now is broader, though this world has lost a light. Take care of business. That's what he'd tell us. You must carry on the fight. Even his daddy and little Lisa, they must accept what God has done. Even though, like our Heavenly Father, Vernon gave his only son. Now the show is over and the curtain has come down. Elvis has left the building, but will always be around. Precious memories flood my soul.
J.D. Sumner, this is Daniel Britt and Friends, now with a medley J.D. wrote.
Oh, I'd like to go back to that old country church to hear the songs of praise. How the people would sing, it would make the rafters ring at that old country church. Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river? Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Oh, I'll never forget at that old country church how the glory of the Lord came down. And the children would smile as they shouted down the aisles of that old country church. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Then on Sunday I'd see all my friends dear to me at that old country church. When it came time for prayer, everybody would be there at that old country church. And secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Now the years have gone by, and so many have died at that old country church. But they're on the other shore, where they'll sing forevermore as they did at that old country church.
Talking today to Gene McDonald, Mark Lowry, George Hare, and Michael Sykes about the late J.D. Sumner, the innovator, the tremendous low bass singer, and the generosity of J.D.
He's talking about the money thing about the waitress. He had, back in the 80s, he had a lady, their housekeeper. She came like on a certain day each week, and she didn't come that week. And so J.D. called and said, well, Mom's sick, and she can't come. And he said, well, how sick is she? And he said, well, pretty sick. So he calls an ambulance from Vanderbilt and tells them to go get the woman. Called the doctor, said she's coming, fix her. And there's no telling how much the bill was, but he paid from A to Z on her, you know. And whether she knew it or not, I don't know. He was just very generous, especially if somebody was hurting worse than he. You know, if he saw somebody hurting, he did all he could to help.
Gene McDonald, fellow bass singer and friend of J.D. Sumner. And he's our focus today, and we'll hear more music and more stories this week and continuing next week with part two.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the presence of the
Brit and friends sitting around lunch table with Gene McDonald and Mark Lowry, on the phone with Michael Sykes and George Hare, shining the spotlight collectively on J.D. Sumner.
He was so funny. I mean, he told me so much stuff, but it's kind of behind the scenes stuff. So it's kind of things that were funny at the moment. But if I try to repeat it, nobody would get it. You know?
Well,
some of them we'd probably get in trouble. They wouldn't there anyway, George. But quite honestly, I mean, you know, J.D., there were a lot of people, George, you would agree with this, there were a lot of people that thought J.D. was a hard man, or they talked about judgmental people. I have to say, they were pretty harsh about their opinions toward him. And I don't think they knew the same J.D. that I knew.
Yeah.
The J.D. I knew and George knew, and Mark and Michael and all of us, man, he's the kind of guy, he was the most giving person I ever met.
Yeah.
We'd go to a restaurant, and you'd see a little waitress, and you'd see, he'll be late at night or something, you could see him struggling or whatever. Man, J.D. would leave him $100, man, and just he'd have tears in his eyes. He'd feel sorry for him. He'd ask them about their life and stuff like that. So I can't relate to the J.D. that the negative talk is about. I had a good time with the J.D. Sumner, I do. Didn't you, George?
Oh, yeah, man. He was such a sweet person. I mean, like I said, I kind of called him my Nashville daddy, and it was kind of hurtful in the sense to think you have such a special relationship with somebody, and then the more you get to know him, you find out that he was a Nashville daddy to so many people. I mean, it wasn't just me. I mean, man, he had so many people that he helped along the way, and God, when people would come to town, you know, young guys and stuff trying to get into business, he would let them stay with them. God, who might? From Tony Brown to Richard Sturban. Yeah, I mean, he just put folks in. And I consider myself to be lucky to have spent all the time I did with him and got to hear all the inside Elvis stories. And I was a big Elvis fan, so that meant a lot to me. But just a great person. He was a great person. I so missed him. Me, Mike, and Mark Lowry, we talk about him so much because we missed him so much. He was one of the guys. He was so much older than we were. But
He left a big hole.
Yeah. He was just such a great guy.
Someday I'm going to see the Jesus. Someday over the blue. Someday I'm going to join the chorus, my friend. How about you? Someday.
someday, someday I'm gonna be happy, and someday, someday I'm gonna shine, someday gonna see your Jonah,
he'll tell me how he got.
Someday I'll know all about it, and someday, oh, won't it be grand, and one day
we'll walk with the angels in that bright, wonderful land.
Jesus, I'm getting ready now to meet you, Jesus, I'll never move.
Walk with you up and down that golden strand. Someday, someday I'm gonna be happy. And someday, someday I'm gonna shine. Someday, someday old Samson will tell me
all about that Philistine town.
Someday I'll know all about it. And someday, oh, won't it be grand? One day we'll walk with the angels in that bright, wonderful land.
For oh, someday,
someday I'll know all about it. And someday you'll want to be grand. And then one day, when we walk with the angels in that bright, wonderful land,
someday I'll know all about it. And someday you'll want to be grand. And then one day, when we walk with the angels in that bright, wonderful land, someday I'm gonna be happy. And
J.D. Sumner and the Stamps here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. With his generosity, and I know I've heard a lot about his generosity, his personality, though, talk about maybe the word stubborn. Was and stubborn can be a good thing at times. So
not J.D.
Yeah, I mean, did he have an old school way about him and he didn't adapt very well to new or what?
You know what? He had an old school approach, but I can tell you this. I think George would agree with this. He was very open minded to the younger guys and bringing new things to the table. I know in a project we worked with, man, we did things that he had never done before. And he said, "Hey, you guys are the producers. You tell us what to do. We're here to do it." In fact, I'm not going to mention who it was, but one of the guys of the group one time didn't like the way it was going. And he started telling us, I remember him saying, "Hey, man, that's not the way we do it." And JD looked at him and said, "Hey, this is the producer. I don't care if he tells you to go jump off the bridge. You get ready to jump off the bridge if he tells you to." But he did stuff, and he stayed young. JD left here young, in my opinion. One other thing, Daniel, I'd like to say. JD was the guy that always pulled for the underdog. I can take the case after case. I don't want to go on and on here, but there was a guy that was autistic. A lot of people in the Nashville music business would know who I'm talking about. His name was Richard. And he would come to town. He'd ride the city bus to town every day, but he wasn't well kept. He wouldn't bathe and stuff like. JD would feel sorry for him. JD just made sure, and he saw that he had groceries, saw that he had money, saw that he had whatever. And a lot of others of us that followed in his track, you know, we all kind of took up that role with Richard, you know.
Yeah.
I remember a guy that did some prison time, and he was from the gospel music world, and JD helped him. And somebody said, "Well, man, do you know what he was in jail for? Do you know what he did?" And JD said, "What difference does it make?"
Yeah.
And it's like JD showed Jesus in a way that a lot of people didn't know how to, I believe. He was a light and an example to us. But, man, what a fun hang.
Yeah. You were talking, Mike, about being in the studio, and I'm trying to think of something stubborn that JD would be, but like you said, he was so open-minded to please everybody. But I remember him being in the studio, he would tell me, he said, "Now, I love Michael Sykes producing." He said, "I know I can't sing, but so good, you know." He said, "But I get in there," he said, "and that rascal will start lying to me and telling me how good I am." He said, "You know what, for long, I believe in it." He said, "I could sing anything for him. He just lies to me, makes me believe I'm good." But generosity, man. I remember one time, and I didn't know this, and JD didn't talk about everything he did as far as kindness to people, but I remember one time I walked in his condo over in West End in Nashville, and he had some envelopes, and he had different money, you know, he was counting out his money, he was putting in these envelopes, And I said, Jackie, what you doing with that? And well, I'm sending it to some friends of mine. And come to find out, he was sending it to a prison where there was a bunch of people that he had met at concerts or whatever that were going through bad times and ended up in jail. And J.D. would send them money and encouraging words and stuff. And, you know, I don't think enough people saw that side of him. But, man, praise be to the Lord that I got to be friends with him. Yeah, he just
on and on with stories, man.
Well, and something that I've heard repeated a lot is, you know, on the surface, you might see a hard man or you might see a stubborn man. But behind it, I mean, he was pure genius. And when you look at his accomplishments and his business smarts and just how, like, I mean, I guess wisdom comes to mind. Maybe some of that was street smart type wisdom from just living life and experiencing what he's experienced. But you find that to be true? I mean, that he was sharp.
You know what else? He was very innovative. Yeah. I mean, back in the day, he was the guy that put buses on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed our industry. I mean, if you think about
it. Yeah, he went professional with it, didn't he?
Exactly.
But we miss JD, bro. Let me tell you. Rest in peace, JD, man.
Oh, someday we must cross your bones.
Fun today talking about J.D. Sumner, sharing stories, listening to music, and my guests Mark Lowry, Gene McDonald, George Hare, and Michael Sykes, and they've agreed to come back next week for part two as we shine the spotlight on J.D. Sumner. See you then.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.